All right, that's up and running. Is Teresita coming? You don't know?
Okay. I haven't heard from
her. Was that clean? There were payphones.
What is that?
It was. This is how I'm going. You guys have seen it.
All right, good afternoon, folks. Welcome to the Hackner / Phoenix Group fundraiser, speaker jam. Let us have a moment of silence and open this meeting up with a surrender prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
All right, so can I have somebody please read who's the next? Who's the next?
Eddie Kim Herschel.
Herschel.
Who is next? First of us, we don't have to think twice about this question. We know. Our whole life and thinking were centered in drugs of one form or another, the getting and using and finding ways and means to get more. We live to use and use to live. Very simply, an addict is a man or woman whose life is controlled by drugs. We're people in the grip of continuing progressive illness whose ends are always the same. Jails, institutions, and death.
Thank you, Ursula.
Thank you.
May I please have someone read, why are we here?
I'm Ashley, I'm an addict.
Yes.
Why are we here? Before coming to the fellowship of NA, we could not manage our own lives. We could not live and enjoy life as other people do. We had to have something different, and we thought we had found it in drugs. We place our use ahead of the welfare of our families, our wives, husbands, and our children. We had to have drugs at all costs. We did many people great harm, but most of all, we harmed ourselves. Through our inability to accept personal responsibilities, we're actually creating our own problems. We seem to be incapable of facing life on its own terms. Most of us realize that in our addiction, we were slowly committing suicide. The addiction is such a cunning enemy of life that we had lost the power to do anything about it. Many of us ended up in jail or sought help through medicine, religion, and psychiatry. None of these methods was sufficient for us. Our disease always resurfaced or continued to progress until, in desperation, we sought help from each other in Narcotics Anonymous. After coming to NA, we realized we were sick people. We suffered from a disease from which there is no known cure. It can, however, be arrested at some point, and recovery is impossible.
Thank you, Ashley. May I have someone please read how it works?
My name is Mike, and I'm an addict.
Mike.
How it works. If you want what we have to offer and are willing to make the effort to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. These are the principles that made our recovery possible. One, we admitted that we were powerless over our addiction, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, we humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, we made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, we continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted. 11, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to addicts and to practice these principles in all our affairs. This sounds like a big order, and we can't do it all at once. We didn't become addicted in one day, so remember, easy does it. There's one thing more than anything else that will defeat us in our recovery. This is an attitude of indifference or intolerance towards spiritual principles. Three of these are indispensable: are honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. With these, we are well on our way. We feel that our approach to the disease of addiction is completely realistic, for the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. We feel that our way is practical, for one addict can best understand and help another addict. We believe that the sooner we face our problems within our society and everyday living, just that much faster we will become acceptable, responsible, and productive members of that society. The only way to keep from returning to active addiction is not to take the first drug. If you are like us, you know that one is too many and a thousand is never enough. We put great emphasis on this, for we know that when we use drugs in any form or substitute one for the other, we release our addiction all over again. Thinking of alcohol as different from other drugs has caused a great many addicts to relapse. Before we came to NA, many of us viewed alcohol separately, but we cannot afford to be confused about this. Alcohol is a drug. We are people with the disease of addiction who must abstain from all drugs in order to recover.
Thanks for reading.
Thanks, Mike.
May I have someone please read what is the program?
My name is Avia, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Avia.
NA is a nonprofit fellowship or society of men and women for whom drugs have become a major problem. We are recovering addicts who meet regularly to help each other stay clean. This is a program of complete abstinence from all drugs. There is only one requirement for membership: the desire to stop using. We suggest that you keep an open mind and give yourself a break. Our program is a set of principles written so simply that we can follow them in our daily lives. The most important thing about them is that they work. There are no strings attached to NA. We are not affiliated with any other organizations. We have no initiation fees or dues, no pledges to sign, no promises to make to anyone. We are not connected with any political, religious, or law enforcement groups that are under no surveillance at any time. Anyone may join us regardless of age, race, sexuality, religion, or lack of religion. We are not interested in what or how much you used or who your connections were, what you have done in the past, how little you have. But only in what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. The newcomer is the most important person at any meeting because we can only keep what we have by giving it away. We have learned from our group experience that those who keep coming to our meetings regularly stay clean.
Thank you. Can I have someone please read the 12 traditions?
Hi, my name is Nick and I'm an addict.
Hey,
Nick.
Hey.
We keep what we have only with vigilance. And just as freedom for the individual comes from the 12 steps, so freedom for the group springs from our traditions. As long as the ties that bind us together are stronger than those that would tear us apart, all will be well. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group's conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. Four, each group should be autonomous except when in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose: to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. 6. An NA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. NA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the NA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Understanding these traditions comes slowly over a period of time. We pick up information as we talk to members and visit various groups. It usually isn't until we get involved with service that someone points out that personal recovery depends on unity, and that unity depends on how well we follow our traditions. The 12 traditions of NA are not negotiable. They are the guidelines that keep our fellowship alive and free. By following these guidelines in our dealings with others and society at large, we avoid many problems. That is not to say that our traditions eliminate all problems. We still have to face difficulties as they arise. Communication problems, differences of opinion, internal controversies, and troubles with individuals and groups outside the fellowship. However, when we apply these principles, we avoid some of the pitfalls. Many of our problems are like those that our predecessors had to face. Their hard-won experience gave birth to these traditions, and our own experience has shown that these principles are just as valid today as they were when these traditions were formulated. Our traditions protect us from the internal and external forces that could destroy us. They are truly the ties that bind us together, through understanding the application that they work.
Thanks, Nick. Can I have someone please read We Do Recover?
I'm Angela and I'm an addict. We do recover. When at the end of the road we find that we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative. Either go on as best we can to the bitter end, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, the simple way has been proving itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
Thank you. And just for today.
My name is Michael, I'm an addict.
Michael.
Just for today, tell you so. Today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living, and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in an aid who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have
no fear. Thanks, Mike. My name is Lance. I'm an addict. I want to thank everyone for attending this Hackney fundraiser. Speaker Jam, we got three speakers in store for you today, maybe possibly four. We got karaoke set up in the room here. We got merchandise for sale over there. We got food, $7 donation. Also, we have raffle tickets for the Junior Suite, $10 each, 2 days. Junior Suite, going up for raffle. Three opportunities to win, because we got three suites to give away. $10 a ticket, so we got that for you guys too. And I believe that's it. So our first speaker is Johnny G. And I don't want to take up no more time, so I'm going to let him go ahead and carry it away.
Thanks, Lance.
Well, those of you that don't know Johnny G been on the set for a while. He's got a lot of clean time. Every time he shares, I love the way he puts it down. And so I'm going to go ahead and let him take it away. Johnny G.
Thanks, man.
All right.
I'm Johnny G. I'm mad.
Johnny.
Let's have a moment of silence for the addicts in the empty chairs. For the addicts that are here. Moment of silence. Thank you. I hope that when I share with you guys that I share with knowledge of God's divine precepts and my knowledge of the program, and I hope that you get something out of it as much as I give to you. I'm looking around somewhere and over there when my gratitude speaks, when I care and share. So when I care, I share with you. So I got 20 minutes. I don't have a clock. Will somebody do this and let me know? I want to talk about, I look through, you know, and I always carry my books with me. This is my favorite book cover. Book is black and it got like rawhide on it. And I can fit my basic tech. It costs $10. It costs, I think cigarettes cost $10 nowadays. So I purchased this, and instead of killing myself, I am helping myself live today. and I read this and I study this and I examine this, and I came to recovery and relapse. And I'm gonna talk about me, but this is where I'm at in my life today. We must relearn many things that we have forgotten and develop a new approach to life if we are to survive. So that tells me that when I got clean in June 7th of 1993, I had to change what I was doing. And what I was doing, I was leading on the path of self-destruction. Before I got to New Orleans and got clean, I was on the streets of San Francisco. I was homeless. People, y'all know my situation. I was like you all. My situation was people walked past me when I had a 40 ounce on the sidewalk and a pack of cigarettes, and I prayed to God. I said, God, get me up off the sidewalk. And I said, God, if you get me up off the sidewalk, I'll never get high again. And he got me to the hospital, and I wound up making my way back to Texas. And when I got to Texas, I wound up going to New Orleans. And that help that I asked for off that sidewalk, it had started. And that was over 25 years ago, it'd be 26 years in June. So it's about keeping promises in Narcotics Anonymous, and I kept my promise. I haven't forgotten the pain that I went through, the streets that didn't want me, that sent me into these rooms. It was a process. It was a process of pain. It was a process of pleasure. It felt good getting high. I didn't like where it left me and where I wound up at the end. When I share with you today, I share with you a clear message of recovery. And whether or not you can hear it in my voice, you can hear the sign of surrender, because I have let go all of those addictions that brought me in here. If you cannot hear me clearly and you don't understand that, then the addiction probably is still running rampant in your life in some kind of way through whatever one you hadn't quit doing yet. When I clear out the message that God wants me to hear, when I quit doing through abstinence, this program, I can hear everything, and I'm in touch with my spirit today. And in the spiritual program, that's what I started doing. I started getting in touch. And I got in touch with, when I started surviving, I started picking up on some of the things that I needed to learn. And one of the things I needed to learn was, I need to learn these things right here. I need to learn 12 steps and 12 traditions. I need to learn what it was like to have a foundation. I went through two hurricanes, and probably minor ones after that. I went through Katrina, New Orleans, that brought me here. Then I went through Harvey that just passed. Hurricanes bring everybody together, but we all live different lives out there. In times of destruction, that's when everybody comes together. So this is a time that we all came together. So destruction brought us together. What was the destruction? I don't know what you got off of, but I'm gonna release my addictions to you all in case y'all still struggling with them, which I was talking about. Cigarettes, I quit doing no. Alcohol, I quit doing no. Crack, I quit doing that. Marijuana, I quit doing that. Pills, I quit doing that. Well, I didn't do pills. They started, you know, that became like something that they started doing after I got clean. Vaping, I don't do that. They came out with that after I got clean. But I probably wouldn't do that either. Somebody said they're gonna come up with vape crack and vape heroin, since that's what y'all like to do now. But guess what? I'll probably say no to that anyway. Because when I had truly surrendered to this program, whatever the disease dishes out there, I serve it up in here to the group. Now, whether or not the group can accept the fact that, damn, I got strength to say no after 25 years or something, and facing the fear that, you know, hey, I might relapse. That was always a thought in the back of my mind that I might get high again. But when I read through this information that they possessed in here, they told me I didn't have to get high no more. So that's why I stick and stay in here. Good time, bad time, gains, losses. I place my recovery up here. Up here. This is where my recovery is. I place my family. I place my car, my house, money, people, income, hustle, whatever I do, I place everything underneath. And I place my recovery up here. So when all those things go, I don't lose my recovery. When I place that thing above my recovery, I lose that, plus I lose my recovery. So I haven't lost my recovery because I have placed nothing above this. It says that when we take care of our spiritual needs, when we take care of our spiritual needs, God will take care of our other needs. When I take care of spiritual needs, Narcotics is a spiritual program. So when I take care of my spiritual needs, God will take care of me and my other needs. And I believe that wholeheartedly. He has not had me to lose those things out there because I take care of my spiritual needs. What are my spiritual needs? I must pray. Am I praying every day? I'm praying every day. I pray every day for me. I pray everything for life that God has granted me. And I pray that others seek the same peace that I seek, that they find. Because I have peace today. When my mom passed a few months ago, she was underneath my recovery. Yeah, I'm not getting high behind moms. I'm not getting high behind losses. I stayed to my recovery. I talked about her before, during, and after she passed. And I came and sat in the chair. And I talked about it. I said, my mom is sick, y'all. No. First I said, my mom, I moved her in. My mom is sick. My mom died. And I shared that with you all so that I could be free. And it allowed me to get past that. I don't want to go use because. It removed my reservation. It removed the if and then the then part. If, then. If she passed, then I get lost. I removed the if, then part by talking about it with you all. And when I went through that, she left me in a better place in life because now I don't have that love that she could give me, but it's more spiritual now. And that I know that, you know, my life is not as difficult as I make it out to be sometimes. Because with the program, the simplicity of it is that as long as I take care of my spiritual need, God will take care of the rest. And that's the hope. When I made my first meeting in New Orleans, I identified myself as an addict. I said I didn't know what I was doing in this meeting, but I wanted to do something different with my life. And someone must have believed me because they came in and they sat down. The meeting was packed. And they gave me hugs and they told me to keep coming back. They said, you could do it. Someone believed in me. I didn't have nothing. It was an ideal state, having nothing. An ideal state, having nothing. I didn't have cigarettes. Remember I told y'all about my cigarettes? I couldn't afford cigarettes. Y'all remember those roll-up cigarettes? I couldn't afford those. I used to pick up pennies off the ground and go get one cigarette with 10. And when I picked up 10 pennies off the ground and go get one cigarette, that's how I used to smoke back in the early recovery. And when I finished smoking that one cigarette, I was like, but I didn't have a car either. I didn't have a place to stay. I depended on people. My first 10, maybe 13, well, before the hurricane and after I left at my uncle's house, I lived in a room. It was about probably this size. I lived, it was a little smaller than this. But I lived, I had small living conditions, but guess what? I stuck to my recovery path. Now I live in a bigger place today. So the progression of my life depends upon my progression of sticking to this. When I stick to this, my life gets better out there. My uncle, I wanted to talk about him for a minute. He knew Jimmy K. So Jimmy K is the founder of this stuff. He's on YouTube. I just looked at it the other day and I was showing someone in the program. He talked about Jimmy having fortitude. And I feel that that's what's needed. Fortitude, meaning that no matter what happens out there, we still meet up in here at a regular scheduled time and place. Because guess what? I don't like to argue. I don't like to fight. I don't like to shoot people. I don't like to do none of that stuff, right? I was in the military. But guess what? If we're doing that here, on a spiritual or verbal level, the addict's still out there picking up the pipe, popping pills, and smoking and dying and shooting it up while we in here doing that, aren't we? So that's why I say when I see y'all, y'all survive the same thing I survive. So I give myself a break when I come in these rooms for an hour. And when I share maybe 5 or 10 minutes, y'all know that I survive the same thing that y'all survive for the 23 hours. Because I hear the same thing that y'all hear all the time. Your part of town ain't no harder than mine. Go get high. Go get one. It's not worth it. No one cares. Just blow up the world. It's going to end tomorrow. But if I pick up the pipe or I smoke one or pop one, guess what? My world is going to end as I see it. Because guess what? I'm not coming sitting in here. I can't hear the voice of recovery because I'm drinking or I'm smoking or I'm getting high. I went to World this year and, my first convention was in 93 when I first got clean in New Orleans. And it was unmasking to me and World was a different experience because they had people from all over. But the only complaint that I had, I felt the diversity wasn't there on the old timer stage. You know, with 25 or more years, they had only, it wasn't as diverse as we wanted it to be, because I only saw one group of people up there. My cognitive numbers made up of all different people. So we talk about diversity, but it must be shown on all levels. Because guess what? When I get 35 or, God willing, 45 years, I want to see somebody look like me sitting up there too. Because it gives me hope. When I don't see my hope up there, I got to fight for it. And when I got to fight for it and the program tells me to surrender, I'm battling spiritual principles. So I don't battle spiritual principles. I believe in the understand fairness of guiding principles and what the literature talks about on a daily basis. I keep coming back. I don't take breaks in my program. Over the last 25 years, I have not taken no, those fallback times where you say, well, I took a month off, or I took a year off to get my life together, or I took a 30-day break. I have not done that. I have consistently maintained my recovery. Because guess what? My disease is consistently keeping count of what I'm missing in here and what I'm not doing in here. Years 1 through 10, I worked 12 steps. I ran with a group of people, and they made meetings every night. We hung out till 2 or 3 or 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, every night. We went to work, and we did all kind of shit, and we did the same thing the next night and the next night. We went to dances, and we did functions, and we did stuff like that. And it kept me clean. I'm a single man. I was in a relationship I just got out of, but I got friends today. I like being single. I'm not married, and I'm okay with that. If I'm married, I got to be okay with being married, but I'm not. I'm single, and I'm okay with being single. God put people in your life that He wants you to have, and He'll take them out too. Ten through 20, I was here basically in Houston doing, spiritual work. I did service work. Since I've been clean, I've done group level, every service position on the group level. Secretary, AS, group service representative, treasurer, GSR, area level. I represented the group. Regional level, I represented my area and region. I hadn't made the world because I don't know, whenever if they call me to do that, I'll step up. It's about stepping up sometime. You know, I don't step up, my disease steps on me. What else in my recovery resume? I got smaller seeds. I don't know, some of them said they was on their way here. I got some support people coming. They might be late. But I got probably 2 minutes left. When I'm battling spiritual forces, I know who my enemy is. And I stay away from negative people, places, and situations at all times. And I'm willing to die behind that. And I must understand that others don't have that same understanding. When you got clean time, don't let nobody take your clean time from you. And I don't do that. I don't let nobody take my recovery from me. That's why when they got a meeting there, I don't care who's sitting in the meeting. White people, black people, brown people, yellow people. I can sit in the fucking meeting on whatever side of town I am on. And if you got this on the walls, I'm welcome. And I will go there. Recovery teaches me that I can go to anywhere as long as I stay clean. This option He gave me, God gave me today. He said, you can go anywhere in the world as long as you stay clean. You can go sit in any restaurant. You can do anything you want to do in life as long as you keep your promise to this. No matter who or what. Just keep your promise. And guess what I keep doing? I keep keeping my promise. And guess what God keeps doing? He keeps opening doors and allowing me to go places and do things. In my journey, I'm on a medallion run, which means I'm on 26. So I will not, on a 26-year run, I gotta like do some certain, I gotta let go of 25-year thing to get 26. I got to quit doing certain things, and I'm okay with that. I let go of the addictions. I still love women. I experimented, but I still love women. I'm not letting that go because I'm a man. But for me to get 26, I got to let go of 25. So I'm in pursuit of my further spiritual growth. When I came in, I was this high. Now I'm this high. And I'm not letting nothing or anybody stand in my medallion runway. So in my medallion count, if it says, you got to do this, you got to do this, guess what? I will fill each one of these seats every night if I need to, because my recovery comes first. Not second, third, fourth. And it's a must that I do my recovery. So I'm going to share some required for the newcomer. I love the newcomer because I was once new. I came in at 23. I'll be 50 this year. All my 20s, 30s, 40s, I've been clean. And I came in and I sat in a room like this and I was happy. And it still makes me happy to see people who still want this thing. And then when I hear them say, man, I was smoking and I quit smoking, I say, nah, you there. Or I was smoking weed and I quit smoking, I say, nah, you there. Because I've been there. So now my spiritual path is leading me to some things out there that I want to get. They talk about financial gain. They talk about visual, you know, going someplace and doing something. God is allowing me to do that in my life today, and I'm happy with that. So newcomer, the only thing that stops you from doing what you want to do in recovery is this. Because this is what frees the spirit in you. Our higher power already has preordained and preordestined everything that we are supposed to have as far as blessings go. It's kind of like what's already written and done and said in our lives. God continuously writes and rewrites the longer we stay clean. So God is continuously rewriting stuff in my life, and I hope he does the same in yours. If you want something different, do something different. If you want the same thing, this is 2018. This is not 2017. I must let go of 2017 things in 2018. Because whether or not I want to accept it, it's still 2018. And guess what's coming next year? 2019. So I must accept that recovery is always evolving and changing. Diversity is our strength and not our weakness. There are no big eyes and little U's. You have a voice, but when you pick up, your voice gets weaker. When you stay clean and spiritual, your voice is stronger. I love y'all. I'm glad Lance asked me to come speak with y'all, man. Last time I spoke was 2 years ago. It was at a convention. But every time when I share with my group and my people, it always, you know, makes me feel like I always give back something that it came hard for me, but I want you all to have it so that y'all can do what y'all want to do with it. Y'all can have the addictions, but also have my joys too, because guess what? When I let go of those addictions, I don't go back to them. My addiction, it ceases and my recovery progresses. So I've continued to progress. I'm enjoying my life today. And I'm going to keep coming back. Thank y'all for letting me share.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. That concludes our first speaker. Let's give Johnny G another round of applause. Appreciate you coming out here, sharing your experience and hope with us. Let's go ahead and we got another speaker coming on at 2 o'clock. So we're going to take a break. We're going to close this meeting out. Serenity prayer. All right, after a moment of silence for the addicts who are still suffering in and out of these rooms, please join me in the serenity prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Keep coming back, it works if you're working, life does the work.
Come on, Jay.
Appreciate you, brother.
But it says 40 minutes, and I hope it recorded it, but I recorded it. Okay. I'm pretty sure it did. I went to the bar. We talked about laughing in my life.
So, okay.
Imagine. So that is.
Appreciate you, brother.
You're welcome.
Are you staying?
I don't know. I might. I got some friends coming, so if you see them from my group, you'll just welcome them over off of Farmers Go Co. Tony and a couple other people are coming over.
So,
they said they were going to be here, but I didn't know what time they were coming, so.
Okay.
Alright, let's do this to him. Steve.
Sir.
Can you check this?
Yeah.
Sure it was on. I don't know if you